This is the Friday, November 11th, 2016 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks. Nice to be back, Mike.
It is good. We're good to have you here. Glad to have you here. We've got a lot of questions. Post-election, people are wondering, where do we fit in agriculture into this this new paradigm in Washington? So I want to start off with some of those. Yeah. Corey Halverson from Kennebec, South Dakota is asking, do you have any speculation on how the new president will affect the farm economy and trade?
I believe that the new president realizes which side of the bread his bread is buttered on, and that's rural America. We learned a very important lesson that, you know, you can have celebrity people out there and you can buy all kinds of support from all kinds of places, but that one vote in that booth, you can't be bought. And I don't think any American out in the farmland took a buck to vote for anybody out there. And that is the power of the American vote, and that is the power of the American democracy. And as far as it affecting trade, I believe Trump is smart enough to realize that the American farmer got him here. He's going to have a tough time balancing the manufacturing issues as part of trade versus the agricultural. But I believe that he's not going to want to get into a hunger discussion or debate or have that bog him down. I believe he understands the value of exports to our farm economy. I believe he understands the farm economy and how important it is to all of Americans. And if he is going to be the president of all Americans, that's a great place to start, is American agriculture. So, you know, I used to kid that if he got elected president, we'd have to build a huge auger to get the corn over the wall in Mexico. But I don't think we're going to see that kind of a problem. And I think when it's all said and done, when you look at what he's going to be capable of doing in terms of Department of Transportation, EPA, and getting a lot of these monkeys off the American farmer's back, it's going to be a powerful thing for the American farmer. Let them get back to what they know what to do and how to do it and be stewards of the land, and they don't need the government sitting there watching them do it. And I think it's going to ultimately be favorable for the American farmer.
You know, and that was a great answer, and it leads right into this next question, which is Roger Cooper from Twitter is asking, do you have any idea where ag fits into Trump's plans for the next 4 years? And I think you touched on it. It's the trade issue is still we have to wait and see. Yeah. But the regulatory side, maybe when the farmer went into the booth, that was what was on their mind.
Well, when I go around the country, and Lord knows I go from one corner to the other, one of the number one things I hear from the American farmer is, they're killing me out here. I can't move my truck without somebody flagging me or doing something. And I can't use water in the way I need to use the water to grow these crops and to do the things that they need to do. And we want the government off our back. And some of this, it's too repressive, it's too costly, and it's killing us out here. So I think we're going to see a big relief there. I think the American farmer is going to benefit from it. And I think consumers will ultimately benefit from it as well.
That's right. The idea being you roll back some regulations, you potentially lower the cost of production.
Absolutely.
Add some, maybe add... lower the break-evens for some of these producers out there with $3 corn. And
cash rents where they are. It'd be nice to get a little relief somewhere. And,
right.
You know, when you look at farming in the future, if we can eliminate some of these estate taxes and death taxes and be able to transfer the farms from generation to generation without giving half of it to the government, this is a positive thing for America and something that needs to be addressed. And I think we've got a chance to do something with that. With the new president-elect.
All right. Taking a look back to the numbers, Mr. Gold, Nathan Neuendorp has a question. He's on Twitter at Neuendorp_N. He wants to know if and when should producers look at re-owning beans? You mentioned maybe a little bit later, give it a couple 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But then when we're re-owning, would you look at a call or would you look at outright futures if weakness continues here in the bean market?
In any market, I don't want to be trading futures. But in a market as volatile as this one is, I just think you'd be shooting yourself in the foot to go trade futures. Why take the risk? Spend 20 cents on a corn call, spend 30 cents on a bean call, go out and buy a July call and be done with it. And if we have a good summer, spring, summer rally, we'll know where this weather is by the end of June. Spend your money there. Spend it one time. Don't get caught up in all these ups and downs. and hang in with a position that you're comfortable with, knowing what that risk is. So, again, I wouldn't be buying those necessarily today, but sometime between, let's say, December 1st and January 1st, I think you need to look at a program to re-own whatever it is you're selling out there. Now, if guys have got crops in the bin, they're not sure, the basis is terrible in so many spots, there is some carry in this market, 23, 25 cents, depending where you're at. Go ahead and do some deferred contracts, sell a July contract at the elevator, use a hedge to arrive so you have a chance of getting that basis improvement in the spring or early summer. And then once you make that sale, then look at buying back those call options.
Okay. Final question from Flinton Stair in Zumbrota, Minnesota via Facebook. He's asking, will we, the U.S., be able to chew through this massive corn crop at current prices, or does it need to get cheaper to make it disappear?
Well, I think that's a great question. To lose that crop and to see it, the piles of grain that are out there, disappear, does it have to be cheap prices? It doesn't necessarily have to be cheaper prices, but we have to see a pickup in demand somewhere. Ethanol has been strong despite what's been going on in the crude oil. We've had great demand there. The export demand has been exceptional. It seems like it's a million two, just about every week. We've had a couple of lower figures, but we're exporting a lot of corn. Is that going to continue now that the election's over and maybe some of those jitters are out? I still think we're going to continue. The world needs to eat. We've got the grain. We're willing to sell it. The dollar hurts us a little bit. Lower prices, a little bit lower prices would certainly offset that. But keep in mind, the best and biggest bull markets have started with the biggest carryouts and vice versa. But we have big carryouts now. Could we see La Nina? Could we see a drought? Could we see a lot of different things? Record demand continue. There are a lot of things. So do I want to be bearish corn at $3.40 a bushel? No, thank you. I'll let somebody else. Am I going to keep a cheap put, spend 10 or 15 cents to buy something out there to get me through the next 4 months? Yeah, I'll do that.
Because but if South America looks good, there is some downside potential.
No question about it. And I'm a risk manager. Yep. I'm not here to try to tell you corn's going to 240 or corn's going to 640. I'm here to manage that risk. And the way to manage it, like I've always said, is with an option. And in this case, you have the put option on until you sell the grain. Once you sell it, re-own it with a call option.
Okay. Now, we did not get a chance to discuss the cotton market during the program. Down 9 cents on the week. Yeah. A little bit of stability, finally, in this cotton market. Is that going to continue?
Probably not. I look at the cotton charts and still realize that there's a lot of risk out here. If we start taking out 55 cents on the cotton for whatever reason, it can go a long way down. So, again, what's going to happen with the acres in cotton? That's going to be an interesting question this year. I'm not sure I have an answer to that quite yet. But if we see more acres coming in, certainly we can move this thing lower. So the cotton and the beans are going to fight for some acres there. In my opinion, the beans will win at these levels. We're certainly going to lose. One of the things that makes me friendly about 2017 corn is the fact that I believe we're going to lose 4 to 6 million acres of corn out there. Are we going to lose some cotton acres as well? We may. So, again, I want to protect the downside and hope for the best on the upside.
Okay. Now, you mentioned cotton's probably going to lose to beans on some acres. Are you in the camp that sees a 4 or 5 million bean acre increase as we look to next year?
I am. Okay. You know, is it going to be, when it comes down to it, is it going to be 4 or 5 million or is it going to be 3 or 4?
Okay.
It's probably going to be 3 or 4. Farmers are just so hesitant to change some of these rotations, and they love planting corn. But money is money, and whether bankers have a input into those decisions, considering where the farm credit is today and the concerns that are out there, there may be more input from the bankers than just from the farm side.
And, I mean, looking at 70 bushel yields this year, lower input costs, I mean, break-evens look pretty good for a lot of producers.
Yeah, it's certainly got a leg up on the corn at the moment. Now, is corn going to have to rally to buy some of those acres? Potentially. One thing we didn't talk about in the show is that we've got the funds still short 100 and something thousand contracts of corn. They're short 100,000 wheat. And if we can get them to trip over themselves to come out of those short positions for whatever reason, that can be a dollar rally in the corn just from them covering their short positions. So there are a lot of things that can still move this market and move it considerably.
Okay. Before we let you go, Mark Gold, we've talked this show, there's been conversation this week about the large carryouts in corn and soybeans, and we've been talking about it for 6 months in the wheat market. For our Ask the Analyst question, could you define for us what is a carryout?
The carryout is the amount of grain that we anticipate will be left over as of September 1st that we didn't use. And people will say, well, if you've got a 2 billion carryout in corn, you know, why isn't corn a dollar a bushel? Because you still have to maintain supplies, and the lower you're going to go, the more you're going to eat up that carryout, and it's never going to go to zero. Even in the soybean market, you will always have some carryout there.
Yeah.
So it's a year ago, right now, we were about 1.3 billion carryout in the corn. Now we're looking at 2.3 or more. That's a lot of grain out there. We know it's a lot of grain, but the market already knows this. We know that the grain's there. Today's price is today's price, and it's everything we know about that market. Does it mean we can't move lower? No, it doesn't. Does it mean we can't move higher? Of course not. And I think one of the takeaways from this election for the American farmer is nobody predicted it. Nobody saw it coming. The reactions when the Dow was down 700 or 800 points, they all said, oh, my God, the world's collapsing, and within 24 to 48 hours, we're making historic highs in the Dow. Quit listening to all the nonsense that's out there. Manage the risk you have in front of yourself, because let's face it, if any of us analysts knew where these markets were going to go, we wouldn't be telling you. We'd be long retired. So quit listening to so much of the garbage that's out there. Just manage the risk.
Every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser.
Yes.
Well, Mark Gold, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week.
Thanks again, Mike.
Thanks to all of you for sending in your questions via Facebook and Twitter. Please continue to do so, and we will get expert analysis right to you. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.